written by Albert P. Oakhurst, narrated by Carol Embry, first recorded 2025. And now, the Cuttlebone Clue, prologue. Bessie Truelove had not wanted to go down those stairs. The clock in the hall had struck 2:30, and the house settled around her like a held breath, the tick of the long case. The whisper of rain against the nursery windows, and somewhere below, the groan of old joists expanding in the damp. She had lain in her narrow bed under the eaves, counting the beats of her own heart, telling herself it was nothing, a draught, a rat in the wainscoting. Mr. Quill's collection settling in its cases like bones in a grave, but the sound had come again. A crash, sharp and certain, from the direction of the cabinet room, not the slow shift of old wood. Something breaking. Bessie had pushed back the blanket and sat up, her feet finding the cold floorboards. Louisa snored on in the next bed, one arm flung across her face, dead to the world. Bessie had watched her for a moment, envying the easy sleep, the way Louisa could drop off the moment her head touched the pillow and not stir until the bell rang at 6. "Go back to sleep," she told herself. "It's nothing. The wind." But the wind had not sounded like that. The wind did not make a sound like a body falling. She had lit the lamp with trembling fingers, the match hissing against the flint, the flame jumping and steadying. Her shawl hung on the hook by the door, and she had wrapped it around her shoulders, the wool rough against her neck. The stairs had creaked under her weight, and she had held the lamp high, casting shadows that slid along the walls like something alive. Now she stood in the doorway of the cabinet of curiosities, and she wished she had stayed in her bed and let the house swallow whatever had broken. The lamp shook in her hand. Light skittered across the walls, glass cases lined with seashells and birds' eggs, a stuffed fox frozen mid-spring, a row of jars holding things that had once been alive. The smell of camphor and old dust filled her nostrils, and something else beneath it, something warm and metallic that made her stomach turn. Mr. Quayle sat in his leather chair behind the walnut desk. His head was tilted back, his mouth open as if he had been about to speak. His eyes stared at the ceiling, and they were the color of the oysters he kept in a bowl by the kitchen door. Gray, unblinking, filmed over. Bessie's breath caught in her throat. She took a step forward, the floorboards creaking under her weight. "Sir?" The word came out a whisper, lost in the hush of the room. She tried again, louder. "Mr. Quill?" He did not answer. Of course he did not answer. The stain spreading across his white waistcoat told her he would never answer again. Not to her. Not to anyone. It was the color of rust, the color of the clay the potter used down at the harbor, and it was still wet. A thin line of it had run down the arm of the chair, pooling in the leather crease, and Bessie thought, absurdly, of the time she had spilled gravy on the dining table, and Mrs. Birch had made her scrub it until her knuckles bled. The lamp trembled. Bessie's hand flew to her mouth, the tin handle clattering against the brass. She wanted to run. She wanted to scream, but her feet would not move and her eyes would not leave the thing in Mr. Quill's hand, a cuttlebone. White and chalky, the color of bone, pressed into his palm as if someone had placed it there with care. His fingers curled around it, not gripping, just resting, as though he had fallen asleep holding it. An offering, a signature, a message she could not read. Bessie knew what cuttlebones were. She had seen them washed up on the shingle as a girl, had picked them up and marveled at their lightness, their strange boat shape. The maids ground them into powder for the silver polish, but this one was whole, still bearing the ridges of the creature that had grown it, and it looked wrong in a dead man's hand, wrong in a way that had nothing to do with the blood. She thought of Mr. Quill's collection, the fossils, the shells, the jars of sea creatures suspended in brine. He had called them his children, had spent hours in this room, cataloguing and polishing, muttering to himself in a language that sounded like Latin. Once she had asked him what he was writing, and he had looked at her with those oyster-gray eyes and said, "A record, girl, a record of everything that has been lost." She had not understood then. She did not understand now. A draught from somewhere, the window, the door, caught the flame. The lamp guttered and shadows leaped across the walls like something waking. Bessie saw the cuttlebone gleam white, saw Mr. Quill's face twist in the half-light, and something broke inside her. She dropped the lamp. It hit the floorboards with a crack, oil spilling across the wood, and the flame caught, a flare of orange that licked at the edge of a fallen rug. Bessie turned and ran. Her bare feet slapped against the boards,